There's a lot that could impress you about the all-new Honda Prologue EV. True, it's got class-leading passenger space and clean, thoughtful design and intuitive technology. But what really sets the Prologue apart from the competition is that it's more than an EV. It's a Honda. Honda, the power of dreams. Visit Honda.com/Prologue to learn more.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to a new episode of Here for the Crack with me, Emma Neal. Oh my God, I feel like I haven't spoken to you guys in the longest time. It's been like 5 or 6 weeks. Well, uni really had 1 week off of me, but I haven't spoken to you in real time in that long. And obviously the second I sit down to record this in my accommodation where we are at the minute in the Philippines, the karaoke starts blaring outside. The karaoke here is relentless. Like, when I say it happens every single night, everywhere you go, I mean everywhere. A karaoke machine seems to be a household staple here. It seems to be like the same way at home we all have toasters, they have karaoke machines. It's just like the done thing. And it's really weird because I feel like at home we think of karaoke as like this thing that you only do when you're really drunk with your friends, yeah? Whereas here it's very much just like an everyday common occurrence, like even at lunchtime. And I absolutely love that for them. At the start, I was a little bit hesitant and I was like, I really don't know how I feel about this. Like, I'm very much I need to have had 10 drinks down me before I even attempt a karaoke song. And then after like one or two times, it really grew on me and I actually love that for them. I love that it's just like a lovely little pastime for them that they just like whip out at lunchtime. But yeah, I do apologize if you can hear karaoke going on in the background. I actually just have no other option but to record it now so that you guys get an episode this week because I don't want to leave you for another week. And also, I have so many stories to tell you. So I'm currently in Siargao in the Philippines. It's actually been pretty much our first stop in the Philippines. So we did the 1 month in Vietnam and then we got the month in the Philippines. We flew from Vietnam to Manila, from Hanoi to Manila. Manila is the capital of the Philippines. If we could have, we would have literally just flown straight out of Manila to where we are now, to Siargao, and not even stayed the one night in Manila. But the way flight times worked out, we couldn't do that. So we just booked somewhere that was like relatively close to the airport. And then the next morning got up and got the flight to Siargao. People had warned me that we would love it here. Apparently there's this thing called the Siargao curse. Is it called the Siargao? Yeah, I think it's called the Siargao curse, where basically every single person that comes here, no matter what, always ends up extending their stay. And because so many people had warned us about that, we preemptively were like, okay, let's just go there for 5 days. Because we don't want to be in the situation where we've got a flight booked and we actually end up wanting to extend. So I feel like 5 days is a good amount of time. We're not like cutting ourselves too short for going to, you know, elsewhere. But it just like gives us a good amount of time to actually see the whole island and do all the activities and everything that we want to do. Sorry, I didn't want to get too much into the Philippines because I want to do like different podcasts on these. But I'm just telling you where we are at the minute. Anyway, Siargao is fucking amazing. It is the surf island of the Philippines. It's like the surf capital. So there's so much surfing. There is so much yoga. There's so much good food. Like, it's just such a good island. It's kind of got a little bit of everything. The driving around it is absolutely stunning. And the best bit about the driving, actually, is that the roads are really well kept. I feel like in a lot of the Thai islands and stuff, the driving's amazing. But, like, the roads are actually low-key a bit scary. The amount of potholes and the grubble and, I don't know, the sharp bends and everything. Whereas the roads here, they're all so wide. They're so well kept. Like, there literally hasn't been a pothole in sight. So we've just been, like, renting. Well, we've had mopeds for the last 3 days. And we've just been, like, driving about the island, surfing, doing yoga, eating lots of good food. And, oh my God, I just love it here. I love it so much. The only one downside about this place is that the Wi-Fi is fucking terrible everywhere you go. To be expected when you're in an island in the middle of nowhere. So, you know, not putting that on anyone. It's no one's fault. And second of all, again, probably a bit of an issue with just being an island in the middle of nowhere. The water situation can be a bit bleak. And when I say a bit bleak, I mean we haven't really had much running water in our accommodation. Now, the guy that runs the accommodation has told us, like, repeatedly that it's an island problem. But then today I was like, right, I need to wash my hair today. Like, I'm about to itch the scalp off of myself. I need to wash my hair that bad. So we ended up going to spend the day in a little beach bar, and like their showers were working fine. So I just brought my shampoo and conditioner with me and washed my hair there. So I don't know if he's like having us on a little bit and lying to us and telling us that it's an island-wide thing when actually it's just a his accommodation thing. I had read in like blog posts and stuff about electricity shortages and water shortages on the island though. So, you know, we were expecting it to some degree, but we didn't expect to arrive and for there to literally be no running water in the accommodation. And there is like drinking water everywhere, which is really good. It's a very eco-conscious and sustainable island. Everywhere is like eco-friendly, plastic-free, don't do takeaways because they don't want to give you like takeaway containers. And I love to see that because there's nothing worse than going somewhere really beautiful and it being like really ruined by litter and tourism and, you know, just shit everywhere basically. So I love that about here as well. But yeah, the water thing, it has been a little bit of an issue, but we've been making it work. But anyway, yeah, that is where I currently am. We're leaving tomorrow to go to another island. This next stop I'm actually so excited about because it's where you get to swim with the whale sharks, and also there's lots of turtles apparently at certain snorkeling points. And then there's also, oh my god, I can't remember for the life of me, but there's like a certain fish that you can go see loads of as well at this next place we're going to. But yeah, that's just a quick little update on where I am and what we've been up to. I will go into depth more on like the whole trip, or like maybe I'll do a Philippines podcast and a Vietnam podcast when I come back and give you all my recommendations, talk about traveling around the two and the differences and everything. But yeah, quick little life update. I hope you guys are all keeping well. I thought for this week's episode I will tell you the story of how we did not get into Vietnam day one of our travels, and oh my god, was it dramatic. Like, you actually couldn't have written it. It got to a point where I was like, this is so bad, it's comical. Like, I have to actually just laugh about it and appreciate the fact that I can just tell the story on the podcast. Okay, so let me just give you a quick little backstory on the visa sitch, right? So years and years ago, I went to Vietnam before. And now that time that I traveled, I traveled with both my Irish and my British passport. So if you're from Northern Ireland, you obviously are part of Ireland, but you're also part of the UK. So you have dual nationality, sorry. So you can have an Irish and a British passport if you want, or you can just have one, or you can have none. I don't know. Whatever suits your fancy. That's not a phrase, suits your fancy. What am I saying? Anyway, I tend to always have both because, especially now, your Irish passport gets you all the kind of like EU benefits, and then your British passport gets you lots of benefits in terms of visas in places like India, Vietnam, Thailand. Like, there are a lot of countries where the British passport does get you certain little perks, like free 30-day visa on arrival, or you might not have to do quite as much like paperwork as say someone with a different passport. Like, the British passport does get you a good few things, which is why I've always kind of kept both and made sure I've had both when I've been traveling to several countries, so that if one has perks that the other doesn't, then I can use that one, if that makes sense. So it's a very privileged situation to be in, to get the benefits of two passports. So I'm very much of the opinion, why would you not take that, you know? Take that and run with it. So anyway, I pretty clearly remembered that on my last Southeast Asia trip, I didn't really end up ever using my Irish passport. Now, I think I did maybe for one country. Which country that was, I actually can't even remember anymore. But I think in general, I tended to opt for the British passport because it did get you more of the perks in those countries than the Irish passport would have. And I remembered very clearly that when I went to Vietnam, I was able to get the 2-week visa on arrival. And the only reason I couldn't get the 30-day visa on arrival was because it was a public holiday in Vietnam. And had it have not been a public holiday and there were government officials working at the airport, then it would have been no problem to have got a 30-day visa on arrival, having had no prior paperwork or anything online filled out, basically. But obviously, because you don't know if you're gonna, well, you can look up when the public holidays in Vietnam are, but also it could, you know, if you arrive on a Sunday, and we were flying on a Sunday, that could affect whether you can get it on arrival. There's lots of things that can actually affect whether you get this visa on arrival. So 9 times out of 10, you're actually better just applying for the one you get online, because, you know, if something was to happen or you were to arrive at a certain time where for whatever reason you couldn't get the one on arrival, then you're not relying on that, you know? So I was very aware of this, and I had said to my boyfriend months before we left, like way before we'd even booked it, I said, babe, you need to get yourself a British passport first of all, because he only had an Irish. I was like, first of all, get yourself a British passport because I know it's better visa-wise. And second of all, we need to look into the whole visa situation so that we're not showing up with nothing and relying on something on arrival when, for whatever reason, we might not be able to get it, you know? So he goes away and looks up the visa sitch in both countries and comes back to me one day and says, I don't need to get a British passport. I've looked everything up and you can get visas on arrival for Vietnam and the Philippines with an Irish passport. So I'm like, I don't know if that's right, but I'll take your word for it. And he actually ends up then looking it up on his phone and just like quickly showing me see visa on arrival. Now, to be fair to him, I do actually think the visa on arrival phrase is a little bit misleading, because there's times where visa on arrival quite literally means you don't get your visa until you've arrived in the country. Like, you do not fill anything out. You just show up with your passport and then get your visa on arrival. And then there are other times where visa on arrival still means that you have to apply prior to arriving for your visa on arrival, if that makes sense. So I will say, you know, that phrase itself, it is a little bit misleading, and I do actually think they should do something about that and maybe do a little rejig to rephrase that. But anyway, he shows the screen to me, says, look, visa on arrival. And I see it and I'm like, okay, I take your word for it, whatever. If you've looked into it, you've looked into it, and that's that. And that was my first mistake. Listening to and putting my trust in a man where a visa's concerned. Never again. No, I'm joking. But, you know, really, you should take matters. You always should take account. Like, you should also take responsibility in situations like this, and you shouldn't always blindly put your trust in someone else. Like, you should always double check things, you know? So I'm not saying it's his fault whatsoever. I should have also looked into it, but I'm also saying it's his fault at the same time. Right, so we arrive at Dublin Airport. Now, it's a Sunday. And we get there 3 hours before our flight, which is pretty standard. You're kind of meant to, for those like big, giant, long haul flights that have the like 3 seats either side, 4 seats in the middle, they do board them quite early. So it's kind of standard to arrive for them 3 hours before. We get to the check-in counter, given our passports to the girl we're checking in with. And she is like, okay, can I see your visas? And we're like, oh, we're just getting the visa on arrival. We don't actually have a visa to show you. She's clickety-clacking away at her little keyboard. She seems a little bit confused. Like, you can kind of tell something's going on behind there. And she looks up and she's like, you can't get a visa on arrival. Like, that's not possible. And I was like, no, it is possible. I've done it before. I flew from Dublin before and I got a visa on arrival then. And she was like, was it with this passport? And I was like, no, actually, it was with my British passport. She was like, do you have your British passport with you? And I was like, fuck, I didn't bring my British passport. The one thing I always swear by to do is bringing both my passports everywhere I go. And I fucking didn't bring it. And in that moment, I was like, no, I don't have it with me. It's in Belfast. And at that moment, I thought, you know what? I could definitely get someone to race down the motorway with my passport by the time this flight is going to take off, because we're here 3 hours early. But then I looked at my boyfriend and I was like, you fucking idiot. You don't actually have a British passport. So we're obviously majorly panicking at this point, thinking, what the fuck do we do here? Part of me was like, do I just get my British passport and fuck him off? See you later, mate. I'm away without you. Nah, I'm obviously not going to do that, but not going to lie, the thought may have passed through my mind very quickly. But yeah, obviously it's taking everything in me to not be like, I fucking told you to get a British passport. The girl's being really lovely about it, can obviously see that we're freaking out. And she is like, right, go apply for your visas. Like, your flight's in another 3 hours, go apply for your visas. So we leave our bags there and she's like, you can just, like, you don't have to queue again. Whenever you've done it, come back here. So then we're thinking, oh, easy. So fine, we can just go apply for our visas, come back to the queue and we're good to go. Now, the visa website, if you've applied for visas for certain countries, the websites can be really iffy, would maybe be the word. A bit buggy, a bit just kind of hard to work with, not very user-friendly, shall we say. Like, I remember when I was applying for my India visa, and I'm not joking you, it took me three working days of looking up every single thing, like every single question or every single bit on Reddit to work out what the information was they were actually requiring or why they weren't accepting like this photo and that photo, and like, you know, finding out all the different little kind of hacks, I guess, to apply for your visa, because they just make it quite difficult. Like, your photos have to be like a certain size, so then you have to compress them, and then it's a whole thing. So I was kind of worried that the Vietnam visa website would be a little bit like that. But anyway, obviously, we've a little bit of hope at this point. We're standing off to the side and we're thinking, right, let's get the show on the road. Let's apply for these visas and get the fuck through security. So we move to the side, find the visa website. Now, when you look up Vietnam visa, there are so, so many scam websites and like fast track websites and all this. So we get the legit link from the girl at the desk. She's able to give us the actual link, like the government official one. And we bring it over. It is a little bit iffy. Now, it's nowhere near to the same extent as the India one. It's fine. So we're frantically making our way through this website, trying to keep our cool, like conversing between each other to make sure we're like filling the right thing in the right places. And then we're like taking each other's passport photos because you've got to submit passport photos for it. So we're like, you know, taking the photos against a white background in the airport, then like downloading the app to compress the file, like doing all these things to make sure we're doing the right thing for the visa. Now, one thing I will say I did realize when we were filling them in was that we never put in our middle names. That will come into play later on in the story. I did actually notice it at the time. I didn't think much of it. I just remember only filling in Emmanuel. And that was because it said first name and surname. And usually when places, like when there's an option to fill in your middle name, it'll say first names or it'll say first name, middle name, surname. Do you know what I mean? Or it'll say like first name, other names, or it'll say first names, plural. So then you know to put in your middle name. And in this case, it didn't say that. It said first name and surname. So I just very clearly remember only putting in Emmanuel and thinking, that's a bit weird. But that, yeah, didn't think much of it after that and just moved on with the visa process. Obviously, I'm panicking about other things. I don't need to be worrying about whether I put in my middle name at this stage. God, this karaoke going on in the background is just getting progressively louder and louder. Okay, so we finished our visa applications at the same time, and then you have to pay. It's like 30 quid or something. You have to pay for your visa. Mine goes through and I get like a basically confirmation of visa application, and you get like a reference number. So I'm screenshotting everything. My boyfriend's, he clicks the submit thing as well, like types in his card details, and then the page just goes back to the start and he has to refill in the whole thing. So I'm standing there, not joking, fully sweating at this point, fully sweating and about to potentially kill someone. So I stand there, deep breathing as he refills it in and resubmits it again. Thankfully, it got accepted the second time then, and he got the confirmation page that came through. So we screenshot the load, go over to the woman at the desk thinking, easy, that was fine, panic over, what was all that for? We filled in our visa applications, we're sweet.
There's a lot that could impress you about the all-new Honda Prologue EV. True, it's got class-leading passenger space and clean, thoughtful design and intuitive technology. But what really sets the Prologue apart from the competition is that it's more than an EV. It's a Honda. Honda, the power of dreams. Visit Honda.com/Prologue to learn more.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
We go over, show her the confirmation or the our reference number. She goes, oh no, I need to see a QR code. And I was like, no, we don't have a QR. Like, this is what we've got. We've just applied. There's no QR code. And she was like, oh no, I can't accept that. I need like your full visa. I need your QR code to scan it to then let you check in. At this point, I think we know we're both fucked because we'd seen that the kind of typical time it takes for a visa to be processed is 3 to 5 working days. Can be longer in some cases. We were reading some posts, some like Reddit threads where people were saying it had taken 8 days. Also, we were very aware of the fact it was a Sunday, so there was definitely no one, like, there was no chance of it getting approved basically before the flight on a Sunday. So at this moment, I think the realization of the fact that we're not getting on the flight kicks in, and there's no persuading this girl otherwise. She's very much standing by the fact that, I don't know how true that is. Actually, no, that is true. They have to scan your QR code before they can check you in. Like, it actually won't let them go through to the next step until they can do that. So yeah, at this point, I'm holding back tears, obviously, as any girl panicking in any situation does. And I just have to take a moment, like a breather, away from everything. Like, I'm overstimulated, I'm overly emotional, I'm panicking, and I'm just, oh, the lights have just gone out in here. There we go. No running water and no electricity. How's that? But the karaoke's still going. How does that work? Right, I guess I'll just carry on in the dark here. Okay, where are we? So yeah, so I take a moment to step outside because I'm just really, I'm about to burst into tears and I want to keep it together, you know? I want to keep it together in front of my boyfriend. Like, I don't want to lash out at him. It's not his fault. It's also my fault. I need to take a bit of accountability as well. And also, I don't want to make him feel worse about the situation. Like, go off and have your moment and come back. So I go off and have my moment. I ring my dad and I start crying down the phone to him. And I'm like, we're not going to be able to get on our flight. We're too busy. Like, obviously being an overdramatic bitch. And he was just honestly laughing. He was like, oh, pet, like, these things happen. There's no point getting an argument about it. And I was like, no, I'm not going to get an argument about it. I just needed to ring you to vent. And to tell you and to cry to someone and I'll be fine. Like, I'm not going to take it out on him. Don't worry. I think my parents think I'm like a bit of a psycho, which is fair enough because I was a bit of a psycho as a teenager, but like, I'm not a psycho anymore, but I think they're always like scared for my boyfriends in case I am a psycho to them, but I'm actually not. Maybe I used to be. Yeah, I definitely used to be to boyfriends. But I'm talking like boyfriends when I was like a teenager. Like, I'm not a psycho. I swear. I'm not a psycho. Mum and dad, if you're listening to this, I promise you I'm over that stage of my life. Anyway, yeah, it was like, in my dad just like kept repeating, oh, like, it's fine. Don't fall out of it. Don't fall out. And I was like, well, who do you think I am? I'm not going to fall out of it. I'm ringing you to cry and vent and I'm going to go back in and pull my shit together. So anyway, he's like, why don't you just get the bus back to Belfast? Wait till your visas get accepted and go back down again, because at this point I'm like, we don't know what to do. Like, do we stay in Dublin and book a hotel and hope our visas get approved? do we just come back to Belfast, suck it up and accept that it's, you know, it's a 2 month trip. What's this going to take off? Like 3 to 5 days. That's not a big deal. Or do we fly to Turkey is the alternative, because our flight was Dublin to Istanbul, Istanbul to Ho Chi Minh. So I'm like, do we just fuck it and fly to Turkey? Like, we've come to Dublin airport now. Do we just go to Turkey and take the hit if we have to pay for a hotel there for a couple nights? At least then we don't have the like anticlimactic trip back to Belfast. Like, how grim would that be? So my dad's very much of the opinion. My mum and dad are on the phone. I think I'm on speaker, and he's saying, you know, just come back to Belfast. It'll be easier. And because he's kind of being like the sensible person talking in this situation, I'm like, yeah, maybe we should just come back to Belfast. But then I go back in to my boyfriend and I'm like, actually, the thought of getting on a bus back to Belfast right now after like the excitement of leaving and coming here and saying goodbye to everyone and then just like showing up again. Also, you have to remember, like, I had someone in my house sitting and cat sitting, and like, then I would just show up again. I can't kick them out of my house. Do you know what I mean? I have to go back with my parents. We'd just be like living in limbo for a couple of days. And I was like, no, fuck it. Let's go to Turkey. Like, we're here now. We're at the airport. We're on our holidays. Let's go to Istanbul. Like, I've always said, I would love to go to Turkey. So let's go to fucking Turkey. And who knows? Maybe by the time we land in Turkey, our visas will, by some absolute luck of the gods, be approved and we actually can get on our flight to Vietnam. You never know. Trying to be positive. Also, you have to bear in mind, we are really running out of time at this point. It's verging on... it's coming up to an hour before our flight, and she warned us at the desk. The girl warned us, like, you need to make a decision on what you're doing before, like, an hour before your flight, because otherwise, like, if you want to go to Turkey, I can't check you in after that. And security is really busy and you need to get through it. So we're like, right, fuck this. We're going to Turkey. Check in our bags. And she makes it very clear, I can only check you into Turkey. You have, like, even if your visa gets approved to go to Vietnam, you have to pick up your bags in Turkey and like go through security again and recheck them in to go to Ho Chi Minh, because I can't check you into Ho Chi Minh until you've got your visas, and the person in Turkey won't be able to check you in to Ho Chi Minh until they've got your visa as well. So she checks us in to Istanbul. We queue up for security. The security line obviously is hectic. Couldn't be longer. Which is just amazing when you're cutting it fine for making a flight. Because at this point, like, we really were cutting it fine. So anyway, we go through security. Both of my trays with my stuff on it gets pulled over. I think his does as well, actually. I'm literally in a full-blown rage at this point, like, jumping up and down, trying to get the security person's attention, being like, please, can you take my bag? It's literally final call for our flight, and the gate's fucking ages away. Please, can you do mine in front of other people? So he's like, no, sorry, ma'am. Like, there's rules. We can't skip the bags. Like, you have to wait your turn. So anyway, the time goes where he checks my bag, and he takes out whatever it was that needed. It was like my camera or something that needed to, or no, it was like my Kindle or something that needed to come out. And then he just puts it back through security, and then it gets pulled over again. Like, what do you mean? How is that even possible? If it was going to get pulled over, surely it should have all, like, then got the clear. I don't know. I don't even know how that works. Anyway, it then gets pulled a second time. At this point, I am literally seething through my teeth. Like, hello, not only have I had to wait for the bag to go back around, like, it, because then the bag had to rejoin the baggage queue to go through the x-ray thing again, if you know what I mean, and it was already rammed, so I had to, like, fully wait for it to come down the queue again, but then for it to be pulled down the side again, and then get rechecked. Anyway, huge palaver. We sprint to the gate. Like, when I say sprint, I mean full pelt sprinting through the airport. Biggest ick you've ever seen in your entire life. Arrive at the gate and they're not even boarding. I hate when it does that, when it just says on the airport thing that it's literally final call, and then you get to the gate and everyone's just sat there and there's not even any staff at the gate, and you're like, oh, fantastic. All that for what? Wow, I'm actually coming back 2 days later to finish this story because the karaoke was winding me up that much. I literally couldn't go on. I don't even know if you guys can hear it. So anyway, where were we? Oh yes, we had just got to the gate and we were all good. We hadn't missed our flight, panic over. We were able to chill out at the gate for a little bit. I went and got us some coffees, some sandwiches for the plane. I always make sure to get food for long haul flights because I've been in so many situations before, like with long hauls, where I have requested to have vegan meals and I have rang up and I have made sure and like triple confirmed that the request was put in for a vegan meal, and every time they're like, yeah. And then I get there and every time they're like, oh no, we don't have a request for a vegan meal for your seat. And every time I'm like, for God's sake. So just to be sure, I'll always get some food, so I'm not going like a whole, because you know, never know, like you could be going say 7 hours and then 8 hours after, but you've only got a 2 hour layover in which you don't have enough time to get food in between. You kind of have to go straight to your next gate. So you could actually end up for literally like, what is that? Nearly 20 hours with no food if the request didn't go through like it hasn't done before. No, luckily it did this time. So I just had a surplus of food. So we're sitting on the plane. My angel of a father calls and texts us to inform us that he has booked us a night in a hotel in Turkey, which was just absolutely stunning of him. What an absolute queen. We, in the panic of everything and like rushing to the gate and all that, completely forgot that actually if we were going to Turkey and, you know, if they didn't let us onto the flight to Vietnam, that we would need accommodation in Turkey and that we would be arriving pretty late. So, you know, we'd kind of need to have it sorted. It's not something we could just like rock up at midnight or whatever and sort out on the spot. So he rings us and tells us that, and we're like, oh my God, didn't even think of that. Thank you so much, King. The flight takes off and we are literally reloading our emails right up until the very second we lose signal. Of course, we do not receive our visas. No one was under any illusion there that we were going to. I think the flight to Turkey was around the 5 hour mark. I know that we arrived around midnight. Obviously, as soon as we landed, we're checking our emails. There's no visa. Surprise, surprise. We obviously have to go through customs then because we're not checked into another flight, so you don't just go straight through to departures. So we go through customs, we get our bags from the baggage thing, and then we're about to walk out of the airport and I'm like, should we just try and get on this flight and see what happens? Like, worst comes worst, we get turned away and we go to the hotel, which is what we're going to do anyway. But like, what happens if they're actually not as strict here about letting you onto the plane in the same way they are back home, and they maybe don't think of that so much more and they just let it be a problem for once you get to Vietnam, in which case we'll cross that problem when we get there and we can get like a visa on arrival, or we can pay the fee or the fine or whatever it is for not having like a pre-planned one. Like, just very much cross that bridge if we get to it kind of thing. Why not just chance our luck now? But obviously we're thinking there's just no way this is going to happen, but let's do it. Also, may I add, the Istanbul airport is fucking ginormous. I have never seen anything like it in my entire life. And lugging around your big like 15 kilo bags, I honestly think we walked for about, I'm not even over exaggerating, I think from when we got off the plane to then when we went back to like try and check in again, I think we were walking around the airport for about an hour. It was insane. So we get to the check-in desk finally of this ginormous airport, go up, hand in our passports, he asks us what flight we're going on, and he checks us in. And I look at my boyfriend and I'm like, okay, we didn't discuss this. We didn't talk about this possibility even happening. Like, we were just chancing our luck, but not thinking anything was going to happen. And because we didn't think it was going to happen, then when it did, we were like, oh fuck, what now? Part of me was thrilled. Part of me was like, oh my God, we've cheated the system. We're going to get into Vietnam and just have to get a visa on arrival. And we might have to like sleep for 8 hours in the airport to wait until there's officials in on the Monday, but at least we're there and we're not having to spend a night or two in Turkey, you know? And then part of me is like, oh no, this is really bad. This is really, really bad. We quite clearly shouldn't be showing up to this country without a visa if you weren't supposed to be from Dublin, do you know what I mean? So I'm also kind of shitting myself. So we're just like looking at each other in complete disbelief. And I think the man in check-in is like, are you guys okay? Like, you're going to go to your flight, going to go through security? And we're just like, Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, sir. Just looking at each other like, what the fuck do we do? And obviously then hoping that like at every other stage up until getting on the flight, then that also goes smoothly, because you're like, there's other checkpoints to encounter that we could not get through? And then have we then even further fucked it for ourselves? Because now our bags are on that flight and we could potentially not be on that flight if these further checks don't allow us on the flight. So all these thoughts are running through our head, but also at the same time, I'm like, oh, this is amazing. We've already applied for a visa. We can pay to fast track it once we're in Vietnam. Like, that probably will not be an issue, I don't think. We might have to wait ours, but I think waiting ours is better than, you know, potentially staying a few nights in a different country. So anyway, I ring my parents and I'm like telling them what's happened, and I'm a bit ecstatic about it, and I'm kind of like laughing, but I'm also kind of like, is there a camera on me right now? Like, is security watching me? Am I going to get pulled any second? At the time, I'm speaking to my mom, I'm queuing for security. So I'm like, right, mom, I have to go, and you go through security here. And I'm thinking, are they going to stop me here? We go through that, they don't stop us. I think we have about an hour and a half. It was supposed to be longer, but because we had to like go through security on the other side and then like recheck in, by the time we did all that, there actually wasn't a huge amount of time left. So I think we had about an hour to kill, not even an hour, in the airport before we had to go to our gate. The flight takes off, I think it was 3 a.m. in Turkish time. So at about 2:30 in the morning, the gate starts to board. We'd been waiting at the gate for a while. The gate starts to board. We're queuing. And as we get to the front of the queue, we hear the guy say, everyone ready with your passport, your boarding pass, and your visa. So obviously at this point, we're like, yeah, okay, we have completely fucked it now. Our bags are literally on a flight that we are not going to be able to get onto. There is no way around this one. So we try and play naive and we try and just like show our confirmation of visa, of applying for the visa, like the email that you get in the order reference and everything. And they're just like, no, 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 we need to see a QR code. So we're standing there like pretending to look like little lost lambs, like, QR code? What QR code? When we know fine rightly, we need a QR code. And we're like, oh, we weren't given a QR code, like this, it's still pending. And they're like, well, then you can't get on the flight. As simple as that. No visa, not getting on the flight, obviously. And we're like, well, what about our bags if we can't get on the flight? And they're like, no, we scan your boarding pass and your visa as you go through, and that confirms that your bag gets on the plane. So if you don't get on this, your bag won't be on this plane, so don't worry about that. And then we're like, but what if our visa gets accepted by the time the flight lands? Because it's like a 10-hour flight. So we're like, you know, realistically, it'll be Monday morning by the time the flight lands. It could have been approved by then, because in Vietnamese time, it would have been like a few hours into the working day. So obviously that's like very hopeful, because it would have had to have moved very fast for that to have happened, but it is possible. So we're like, you know, what if it was to be approved by the time we get to the other side? And they're like, but because we can't guarantee that, we can't let you on the flight. So we walk away with our tail between our legs, literally like, we're fucking idiots. We should have just gone to the hotel in Turkey, paid to fast track our visas, and waited for the time to come, because now it's 3 a.m. in Turkey time. We now have to walk back to the help desk to retrieve our bags in this ginormous fucking airport. That's going to take at least an hour. We're going to have to pay for new flights and sort all of that. We're going to have to pay to fast track our visas, and then there's still no guarantee when that's even going to come through. Yeah, morale was low, to say the least. And bear in mind the time, like, reverging now, by the time we go to the help desk to sort out our bags, our new flights, which they couldn't get us onto a new flight, they couldn't get us onto the next day one because it was fully booked. So then they were able to get us on the one the day after that. But then we were also freaking out about whether our visa would even be approved by then. And also, if our visa wasn't approved by then, that's on us to pay the extra in the flight. Like, we're already having to pay an extra like £400, I think it was, for the new flight, obviously, because it's so last minute. And then also we would have to do that again. Like, we'd have to pay another fee, because it wouldn't be the airline's fault that we couldn't get the plane. It would be ours, obviously, for not having the visa. So we're like, do we buy the new flights when we don't even know that our visa will be approved in that time? So then we're like, right, let's not book these straight away. Let's go and talk about this and see what we can do. And we're like looking everything up on Google and Reddit and seeing what other people's experiences with fast tracking their visas have been. Although I do think there probably is a lot of like scammy websites where that is concerned, we ended up finding one that did seem pretty legit and had quite a lot of like good reviews and good experiences on different threads online. So we thought, fuck it, let's pay for this. I think it cost us another 80 quid or something. And it guaranteed that you would get it within 2 to 3 working days, I think. Was it 2 to 3? Maybe it was 1 to 3. I don't know. Anyway, it was guaranteeing that you would get it in a pretty short amount of time. Whereas without that, you have no guarantee that you can get it in under 3 weeks, even though the kind of norm would be 3 to 5 working days. They can't actually guarantee it'll be even under 3 weeks. Silly us, obviously, all our fault. But yeah, anyway, we paid a fast track it. It must have been the 1 to 2 day option that we ended up going for, because I know that we went away and sorted that before booking our flight so that we knew by the time our flight came, we'd definitely have the visa, because we didn't want to take that risk. So we pay for the visa fast track thing, hoping that it's not a giant scam. We go back to the help desk, we get the new flights. We have to be like escorted out of the airport, because obviously we've already been through security. So we have to be like escorted out of this other door and finally get to a bit where we can now collect our bags. And we're sitting in this office for Turkish Airlines waiting on our bags. And like, there's a guy there that had been waiting for his bags for 3 hours. And at this point, it's like 5 o'clock in the morning. Or maybe it's like 4:30, 5 a.m. And this guy's sitting there having not got his bag for 3 hours. And I'm looking at my boyfriend like, I'm sorry, but I'm not waiting here for 3 hours. That is absolutely not happening. So after I hear the guy say that, I go up to another guy at the desk and I'm like, will ours also be 3 hours? And he goes, no, don't worry. His baggage was lost. Yours will be like, you just wait like 20 minutes. And sure enough, well, it wasn't 20 minutes. I think it was about half an hour by the time we got them. But we got them, we got escorted out of the airport. Our bags had to go through security again. Longest process ever. Luckily, the second we got out the door, there was a taxi right there and we got straight to the airport to check in and go to bed. We didn't get back to that airport till after 6 a.m. in the morning. And if you've ever been to Istanbul, you will know that at 6 o'clock in the morning, there is the really loud prayer coming through the city over the big speaker of the big mosque. And as much as I love experiencing different cultures and different cities and learning all about the different kinds of ways religion is practiced in different countries, coming into your hotel after all of that at like 6:30 in the morning and trying to get to sleep without blaring through the speakers, oh my god. It was really not ideal. And I remember posting a video of it, of me just lying there in bed being like, I can't believe when I'm trying to get sleep at 6:30 a.m. this is what I have to listen to. And I did get a few replies from people being like, that's so disrespectful. And I was like, no, I mean this in the least disrespectful way possible. Like, this is completely on me. This is our fault that we're not going to bed until this time after this big palaver. I'm just laughing at this point at the fact that this is now happening after all of that. Like, it was literally not in a disrespectful way whatsoever. It was honestly just one of those moments where it was like, if you didn't laugh, you would cry. I think we woke up at about midday. And of course, the second we woke up, we see our visas had been approved after we'd done the fast track, which is actually so annoying because we worked out that the time they were approved would have been in time for us arriving in Vietnam. However, that was with paying for them to get fast tracked. And the only reason we'd paid for them to get fast tracked is because we didn't get allowed on the flight. So if we had have just been allowed on the flight and then arrived in Vietnam, I don't think they would have been accepted. We should have known. We should have, from when we did it in Dublin, fast-tracked them from then to try and make sure that they were done in time. But we didn't even know that any of those websites were legit at that stage. We kind of thought none of them were. So that wasn't really an option. It was more when we were like rebooking the flight, we were like, right, let's look into this and see if this is an option. But yeah, it would have been there, safe and sound, by the time we would have got to Vietnam. But no, here we were in Turkey for 2 nights. So funny as well. Like, I kind of thought Turkey was warm all year round. I mean, I wouldn't have been looking up the weather regardless. I had no intentions of going there, but I did not know it was cold in March. So we arrive in Turkey, obviously, with our clothes to go backpacking Southeast Asia with, and it's fucking freezing. Everyone's wearing puffer coats and trousers and boots and everything. And like, honestly, hats and gloves, scarves, like the lot. It's really, really cold and I was not expecting it. And I'm prancing about Istanbul in a little tiered skirt with a hoodie. That's my only layers I can wear. So I've got a t-shirt and a hoodie and that's it. I was frozen. I was getting so many looks as well because obviously people are like, why are you dressed like that, love? The fact that there's still more to this story. Like the fact that it wasn't smooth sailing from this point onwards. Okay. Right, so obviously after all of this, we have spent a substantial amount of money compared to what we budgeted for. Like, okay, my dad covered the cost of the hotel for the first night, but then I had to get it the... Do we have to say two nights, was it? Or was it three in the end? I can't even remember. Anyway, I had to pay for the hotel. I had to pay for... Well, sorry, we had to pay for our visas to get fast-tracked. We had to pay for the new flights, which was like 400 and something pounds each. So we're at this point like the equivalent of half a month through our budget within the space of 2 days. That can be looked past though. We can get over that. Anyway, we finally get on the plane from Istanbul to Ho Chi Minh. When I tell you the relief I felt when we actually like stepped foot and sat down on the plane, I've never felt a better feeling in my life because I just was convinced up until that point, like I was convinced something else is going to happen, something else is going to go wrong. So the second we sat down and knew that was us to Ho Chi Minh, God, it was a good feeling. But then I'm also thinking in the back of my head, we still have to get through the border of Vietnam. Like we still have the whole sitch with our visas and having to get through with our visa. So we arrive 10 hours later or whatever it is in Ho Chi Minh. Thankfully, the queue for immigration is not that long. I think about 5 minutes before we're at the front of the queue handing over our passport and visas. So the guy looks at my passport and then he looks at my visa. And he slips them back under, which is never a good sign. He slips it back under through the little plastic thing back to me and points at the name and says, your name doesn't match. Do you remember when I told you that there was no space for the middle name? Yep. The name on the passport did not match the name on the visa, apparently. So the name on the passport said my full name, obviously with my middle name, and the name on the visa just said Emma Neal without my middle name. So I'm like trying to protest it a little bit. Now, obviously there's no point in arguing with these people because what are they going to do? Do you know what I mean? Like that, arguing with someone like that, it's not going to get you into the country. I can tell you that for sure. So I'm like, oh, there wasn't any space on the website for me to put in my middle name. Like it does match. It's just Emma Neal and Emma something Neal. Do you know what I mean? It's the same name. It's just missing my middle name. I swear it's still me. Is basically what I'm trying to get at. And he's like, you need to go over there and sort it out. So, because there's like a bit where there's basically like the main kind of queue for, obviously there's the queue for the Vietnamese passports. There's the queue for like government officials and what do they call it? Can't remember the word. And then there's the queues for international passports. And then over in the corner, it's like the queue for basically if you have anything that goes wrong. So like if you need to get a visa on arrival or if there's something wrong with your current visa, or it's basically just like a queries and help kind of queue. Okay. So he's like, you need to go over there. I turn back to my boyfriend and I'm like, for fuck's sake, my visa and my passport don't match because I didn't put in the middle name. And he's like, sure, we did the same thing. Like we filled it in together. I also don't have my middle name. He's going to say the exact same thing to me. And of course he goes up, the exact same thing happens. And we both get sent over to the little help queue. Basically, what ended up happening is that we just had to pay for new visas and we also had to pay to have them fast-tracked on the spot. So we ended up paying double, not only for the visa itself, but also double fast-track on the spot. That was another £100 just because we were missing our middle names on the visas. Please do not make that mistake. Learn from my mistakes, people. Always make sure your middle name is on your visa. In that moment as well, there's literally no point. Like, me trying to tell a government official or, like, an immigration officer that the website doesn't say middle name or doesn't state that exclusively. Like, that's not his problem. He didn't create the website. He can't do anything about that. He's just doing his job. So, like, all he can go off is the fact that my names don't exactly match up. And there was loads of other people actually that it had happened to in the helpline. There was people that had misspelt their name, which is actually kind of hilarious. And there was also people that had left out like middle names or middle name or whatever. So, you know, other people on the same boat, which made me feel a little bit less stupid. However, was still feeling like a fucking idiot. But yeah, it thankfully did not take too long. There wasn't a massive queue in the kind of help section. And it was a bit dodgy, I'm not gonna lie. It was just like some guy that like basically fast-tracked our visas for us, like submitted it all for us to the immigration officer and like took our new passport photos and everything, or like took new kind of passport style photos for us. I don't really know how to describe it. It was basically just like a freelancer in the airport working to get the visas through faster to then hand over to the immigrant. Honestly, I can't even describe it because there's nothing like it anywhere else that I've ever experienced. But it was just like a wee random guy with a satchel just doing this for people. I swear he was freelance and he took like a cut of how much you had to pay to fast track your visa, which is crazy. Yeah, so he did that for both of us. We had to sit down and wait for them to be processed, but I don't think we were sat down for much longer than 10 minutes, to be honest. So we were luckily out of the doors within about half an hour from when we'd entered the airport, which all in all is really not that bad considering we literally had to get whole new visas. Do you know how I said earlier about how the feeling of sitting down finally on the flight to Ho Chi Minh was the best feeling ever? I actually withdraw that statement because the feeling of walking out of the Ho Chi Minh airport after all of that, like fully walking out of the airport with our bags on our backs, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. 3 days later, we finally made it. So yeah, our travels just started 2 days late. I mean, technically they still started when they were supposed to. They just started in a different country. We did get 2 days, a little city break in Istanbul. A little impromptu city break. That's Istanbul checked off the bucket list. But I'm glad we did that and didn't go home, because it just would have been so anticlimactic getting the bus and everything down to Dublin Airport and then just like coming home again. We may as well have just like started our travels, even if it did involve being frozen for 2 days in Istanbul and paying way too much on a hotel because everything else was booked out. But yeah, all in all, I mean, 2 days off of 30 days in Vietnam, when you actually think about it, it's not that deep. You just take off one day from one place and one day from another. It was fine. But yeah, that's the story of how we did not get let into Vietnam. I actually went back through my journal to rejig my memory of everything that happened. And I finished it off by saying this, which is hilarious. I said, anyway, if the last 48 hours have taught me anything, it's that 1, always travel with your British and Irish passport. 2, never listen to a word a man says. 3, you can always make the best out of a bad situation. And 4, me and my boyfriend are meant to be together because if it was anyone else, we'd have probably killed each other by now. I hope you enjoyed my little, actually not so little, story of us not getting let into Vietnam. Please learn from my mistakes. Please don't be a stupid tourist entering a country blindly or naively to the visa situation. Please always travel with both your passports if you have both, because you never know what perks one is going to get you. And just remember that visa on arrival does not actually mean literally visa on arrival, and you do have to still apply for it in advance. Okay, I love you guys lots. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. The Wi-Fi switch is not great where I am currently, so I do apologize if my uploading schedule is a little bit all over the place. I know it's not the norm Monday 6 a.m. every single week. I apologize for that, but not too long before I'm back to my normal uploading schedule, and I can't wait to speak to you guys and tell you all my stories and everything I have to say about my travels. But yeah, I love you guys lots. I will speak to you hopefully next week. Bye.